We are back. You're listening to episode number 13 of You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Connington. And before I throw over to the other guy, I'm going to tell you where you can find the show. You can find us on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at K Collington and him at Mike underscore Giletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, and the last word on sports.com. Now, without any further ado, here's Mike Giletto.
What's up? What's up?
What up, buddy?
How you doing?
Good, man. We got some stuff to talk about tonight.
Yeah.
It's getting down to crunch time in the Flyer season.
It sure is.
The Sixers did some stuff. You'll hear about that in less than 10 seconds later on. We got Philly spring training news. We got some roster updates for them. They get started.
It is baseball season. I am excited.
It is baseball season. I'm less excited, but you know, it's still baseball season.
I love baseball.
Now, before we get into this, we've teased something on the last two shows.
Okay.
And that would be the fact that you played youth hockey with one Mr. Johnny Gaudreau.
Yes, a little bit here and there.
Now we both grew up in the same town as, well, in the same area as Johnny.
Yeah.
And his dad owns the local rink.
Yeah.
You know, if anybody from Holly Dell's listening, you know, shout out. It's a good little venue.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but it's a good little venue.
None of them are.
It's a little dated.
Yeah, a little bit.
But now I believe you have one story in particular.
Yeah, it was my, you know, claim to fame, like my 10 seconds of glory.
And I know it's not a particularly long story.
No, so not at all.
Why don't we just knock this out right off the bat? Hit me with it.
So it was just basically a spring league. Nothing too crazy. It was basically just practice.
Now, what age are we talking?
I was probably around 12, 13.
Okay. So he wasn't, you know, young phenom Johnny Hockey yet.
No, not yet. No. So it was just spring league, basically just practicing. I'm usually a forward, center of the wing, one or the other.
Sure.
For whatever reason, this game against Johnny Hockey, I was playing defense. I don't know why, but I just was. I guess to work on my overall game, right?
Sure. Just a little development.
Exactly. A little bit.
Fair enough.
So he's coming. I play left defense.
Okay.
He's coming down his right side of the ice. So my left.
He's playing right wing.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. He's playing right wing. He's coming down the center of the ice in the neutral zone. Right? Okay. Because he had speed then, obviously.
Clearly.
He still has speed.
He only weighs 112 pounds now.
So.
You can only imagine what he weighed at 12.
Right. So he's passing probably the red line in the neutral zone.
Center ice.
Yeah. It takes one little step inside to fake inside and then tries to go outside and go around me on the outside of the wall.
Right. He tries to burn you with that speed of his.
I wasn't having it.
Okay.
Okay.
You weren't
I see him
it.
Do that. And by the time he gets to the blue line, I said, all right, this is my chance to step up on him.
Okay.
I step up. I lay a hit. It was based mostly shoulder. Drilled
mostly.
Him.
Mostly?
Yeah, shoulder and some hip.
Okay.
But mostly shoulder.
Because your shoulder and your hip are right next to each other. So I can see what you're...
Okay. You can kind of see where I'm getting at here.
You went full body into him.
Yes. I threw my whole entire body at him. And he went flying because he's small. He's a small kid.
Sure.
Yeah, he went
I've
flying.
Seen him
he
was get thrown around in the NHL a little bit.
He was laying on the ice,
so
you
basically
know, thriving in pain.
For 10 seconds there, you felt like Zdeno Chara?
A little bit, yeah.
Or you just came across and you just drilled him?
Now, at this point in his, I don't know if I call it career, development. We'll call it development.
Sure.
He wasn't this, you know,
he wasn't
NHL prospect yet.
Right.
You know, nobody expected him to make the NHL all together, let alone be a superstar. So.
Right.
But that's my 10 seconds of fame, you know?
So, basically, what you're saying is you drilled Johnny Hockey in a game.
Once upon a time,
yes. Once upon a time. Okay. There's the Johnny Hockey story.
Nothing crazy. No, nothing outrageous. But
I'm sure Ben will appreciate that one.
Ben, yeah. Well,
you know, he's a bit of a hockey player, so.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know
that. Well, he used to be. I don't know. He talks about it like he plays. But
he's getting real antsy.
He is. Ben, you got to be patient, buddy. Listen, I know that you want to be on the show, and we're working on maybe getting that to happen when you come into town next month. But in the meantime, man, relax, buddy.
Relax.
Just relax. Your friends Kyle and Mike will be here before too long. We're out pretty much every Monday night by 9 or 10 o'clock, which, by the way, is a heads up to the rest of you listeners. 9 or 10 o'clock. You know,
give or take.
If you refresh your podcast apps on Tuesday morning, we should be good to go. And a good way to do that is by subscribing on iTunes.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked a little bit about this, but subscribing is huge for us.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, because that lets you get the show every week. It goes to your device automatically. You can get it set to download right away. As soon as we drop it, it's in your phone, ready to go.
Yeah, and I know you already went through the whole plugs, but Twitter and Facebook are huge, too, because you can get it. Twitter and Facebook are huge. Yeah. You get it immediately, especially Twitter, if you know you retweet or something like that.
Yeah.
Get this thing out there, you know?
Yeah, we saw some pretty big growth just with that little giveaway we did a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And if any of you guys are still listening, we really do want to thank you, and we do want to encourage you guys to spread it to your friends.
Yeah, I know. Me and you were talking off the air, and maybe 100 or 200 followers, whenever we get to some specific number, we want to do another one of these giveaways.
We did. We actually talked about doing a giveaway, and I think we're going to put something together when we hit 100 Twitter followers. So tell your friends to go follow us on Twitter at YWT Podcast. We're currently sitting about 89 or 90. We're not that far away.
And no, not at all.
When we get there, maybe we'll do something else, you know, another hat or a t-shirt or, you know, we'll figure something out and we'll get it out to you guys because we do want to give back to you for being so great.
Right.
All right. That's enough shilling.
Yeah.
Speaking of shilling, let's talk about the Phillies.
Ooh.
You see what I did there?
Smooth transition, buddy.
All right. So
the big news of the day.
The big news of the week.
Or the week, really. Scott Kingery.
Yeah, did nothing and got a 6-year deal.
Yeah, that's basically what it was.
What's he done?
I mean, he hasn't played an inning and at bat a second of Major League Baseball.
It's incredible.
But, I mean, there's still some excitement there.
Yeah, 6-year deal. How much did he get?
I don't have the numbers off the top of my head. I could find them in a second.
Yeah, because I don't know how I feel about the concept of giving the guy a 6-year deal before he's played an out.
Yeah, that's fair.
In any sport, I don't like the number one pick in the NFL draft getting $10 million or whatever he gets. I don't love it. You know, you gotta earn something. I like the way hockey does it, where you get that 3-year ELC.
So it's a 6-year contract, which has three club options for the 2024 season, 2025, and 2026 seasons.
Okay.
Okay. The deal is worth $24 million in guaranteed money, which isn't awful.
So that's for those 3 years?
Basically, yeah.
So that's about $8 million a year there?
Okay, and then the next 3 years are worth 42 combined. So 13.
That's a lot of money.
13 and 24, 14 and 25, 15 and 26.
Okay.
And so
if he's not living up to that, though, they won't exercise those options.
The deal could be worth up to $66 million.
Okay. I don't mind that then. If it's a 3-year deal, it's still a lot of money for an unproven guy.
Yeah.
But I hate it a little less because you have the luxury of getting out after 3 years if it's killing you.
Yeah. No, I like it. Especially him not, you know, them not keeping him in the minors just for contract reasons or whatever. They're like, all right, this kid's good enough now. Let's see what he has. Let's bring him up.
And, you know, now that baseball season is upon us, now is a pretty good time to spring this on you.
Okay.
I have a buddy who lives in North Carolina.
Okay.
And
is he a listener?
He actually is. Okay. Scott, I'm talking about you, buddy. I'm gonna talk about this on the air.
Okay, let's go.
Now, the area of North Carolina, you know, North Carolina doesn't really have a whole lot in the way of professional baseball. So he grew up a Braves fan.
I'm sorry for you, Scott.
Well, to be fair.
When he grew up, yeah.
He grew up doing 14 straight division titles.
Yeah, it's true.
He grew up during Maddox.
Yep.
So I had a conversation with Scott after our show the other week where I predicted that the Phillies were 20 wins better than they would have been without Arrieta.
Which is interesting because how does one pitcher give you 20 wins?
It's about the attitude.
Sure. Go ahead. Relax. Continue.
Second of all, so I had this conversation with Scott, and he doubted, you know, my claim. He didn't think there was any way that the Phillies would finish above 500.
Okay.
500 or above. So we set an over-under at 80.5. So if they go over, they hit 500. And if they stay under, they don't hit 500.
Yep.
And Scott's going to come on the show in September, October.
Okay.
And
this is the first time I'm hearing this.
I know it is. And if the Phillies win, he's got to come sing some praises of the Philadelphia Phillies.
I like it.
And then if he loses, I have to compliment the Atlanta Braves.
Okay.
You know, it's a relatively low stakes bet, but I just want to give you a heads up about this on the air. I want to spring this
on
you.
Okay. No, I like it.
I figure, you know, we're doing the baseball preview show a little bit here.
I'm not involved in this deal, so I don't have to do anything.
No, exactly. There's, you know, no stakes for you, but we'll get Scott in probably via Skype.
Yeah, we'll probably get him on the phone or something.
Yeah, in September, October, and one of us is going to have to eat a little bit of crow, and you know, we'll see how that goes. So I just want to put that this on the record in audio recorded form so that he can't back out of it.
Right now he's kind
of, now he's a man of his word, and I know he'll do it. And I also want to be held accountable if the Phillies fall short, that I hold up my end of this bargain too.
Now, being from North Carolina, is he a college baseball fan at all or not really?
You know, I'm really honestly not sure.
Just a question.
I don't want to say the wrong thing when it comes to college basketball.
Okay.
Because the area where he's from is pretty tightly split between Duke and UNC.
Yeah, no, yeah, that makes sense.
I don't want to say the wrong thing because I'll offend him. If I say he's a Duke fan, he's actually a UNC fan. I just spit in his face.
They get real pissy with that kind of stuff.
For some reason, I think he's an NC State fan. Scott, you'll have to let me know.
So he wanted to be the guy that was different.
I guess.
Going with NC State.
Yeah, he's also, you know, 5'4 with a mohawk. Or was was back in the day. He went through a bit of a phase there.
Hey, man, we all go through it.
He's a good man now. He got married in the fall. He's a good dude.
I'm sorry for you, buddy. I feel you.
Mike is also married, for our listeners who don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I want to throw that out on the air and get that on the record.
I like it.
Yeah.
Now I know that over-under was set at, what did you say, 80.5?
80.5.
Okay. What do you think they're going to get? Do you have any sort of number in your head?
I think they're an 83, 84, 85 win team.
Okay.
I think they're slightly above that number.
So you think
number.
Without Arrieta, this would have been a 65 win team? Basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because this team's not great.
All right.
Also, they've announced Arrieta's first start at home.
They have.
I think it's April 5th.
April 5th is opening day. Is he starting opening day? It might be the 6th.
I'm not sure.
Their home opener is the 5th. So I think it's the 6th. I think it's that Saturday.
Okay. Either way, if you look at the Phillies Twitter, they did announce it.
Yeah. So speaking of the Braves,
okay,
they play the Braves on Thursday for the season opener.
Oh, for opening day, huh?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, see, I don't really watch a lot of baseball. I follow baseball. I'll vaguely track what the Phillies did. I can't tell you the last time I watched an inning of baseball not in the stadium.
Really?
I don't watch baseball on TV.
Yeah, I'm a real old school guy when it comes to baseball.
Yeah, see, it doesn't matter. I'll watch a highlights package.
Right.
And vaguely follow the scores, mostly for fantasy purposes. But I don't really watch much baseball day to day. It's just boring.
I hear what you're saying.
If I need something to put me to sleep, I have other things I can watch.
Is that so? Like Goon?
Goon is a great movie.
Like Goon?
Listen, don't get me started on Goon right now. We will talk about that in the summer.
Okay.
You guys make sure that you have Goon watched so that when we talk about it, you guys will know what we're talking about. It's on Netflix.
And Mystery Alaska. That's one you have to watch.
Mystery Alaska is impossible to find. I'm not worried about it.
No, it's on HBO or Showtime or one of them channels.
Oh, one of them, huh? You can't narrow it down.
I just watched it the other night. Yeah.
Sure.
All right, moving on.
It's going to be a little bit of a tangent show today, but I think that's fine.
Yeah, but I think Nola is starting the opening day, right?
Yep.
That was announced.
And I'm glad that they stuck with that.
Yeah,
I
agree.
They announced that before they signed Arrieta, and I'm glad they stuck with it because I'm sure the kid was excited.
Oh, for sure.
You know, he's getting an opening day start for a Major League Baseball team.
Oh, there's nothing like opening day.
That's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
So
opening day, 4:05, I believe it's 4:05 Thursday against the Braves.
That's a bit, yeah, it's, you know, starting out against the division is always, it's always fun.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, and you set the tone for the rivalry for the season. So it'll be interesting to see where the Phillies go this year. And we'll keep you guys, we'll keep them in the news. And if something happens, we'll talk about it on the show. But
yeah, I think there's a lot of potential because they're a division. Other than the Washington Nationals, I almost said Capitals, wrong sport. Other than the Washington Nationals, their division is not good at all.
No.
So they can steal some wins, a lot of wins.
Absolutely.
From the other teams. But there's some potential. I mean, we'd like to see Franco become his usual self back from 2 years ago.
Yeah, he kind of had a fallback season last year.
Yeah.
And I think part of it was the fact that he had zero support around him.
Maybe. So Reese Hoskins is going to do something because Reese Hoskins looks like a stud.
Right. I think Michael Franco is a good player. I don't think he's good enough to prop up a bad team. And that's kind of what was asked of him last year.
Yeah.
I think
that's fair.
Like, this tells you how long it's been since I watched baseball. If you take the 2008 Phillies, OK, Okay.
Okay.
The stars were Utley, Howard, and Rollins.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Field players, yeah.
I'm talking about hitters.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
I'm talking about guys in your lineup, in your batting order.
Right, because the whole, that whole season and the season after was basically all about their aces, right?
Right.
I mean, that's basically what got them that far. But you're just talking hitters.
I'm talking about the hitters. You know, that 2018, you had your Howard and your Utley and your Rollins. Michael Franco is a really good, like, Shane Victorino.
Or Carlos Ruiz.
And he's better. Like, Chooch was pretty important to that team.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, you know, he kind of has that, you know, he was Raul Ibanez. He's a good player.
Okay.
Remember that name?
Yep.
Oh, boy. And then, you know, the Phillies have had a hole at third base forever.
Yeah.
It's been tough. Like, you had Scott Rolen.
Yeah, I was back in early 2000s.
The late 90s, yeah. But really, that role hasn't been filled since Michael Jack Schmidt.
No, yeah.
Really, like Roland did it for a couple years, but we haven't had a cornerstone third baseman since Schmitty.
Yeah. I can't disagree with you there.
No. And Roland could have been that guy if he could have gotten his head out of his ass, but.
And stuck around. I mean.
Well, that was part of it.
Yeah. Played most of his career with St. Louis.
Yeah. He kind of had that Curt Schilling, I want to go make $1 billion thing. So.
Hey man, I'm not going to fault anybody for going to make money.
Just the way he did it, though. He was a pompous.
I mean,
jerk.
Do you feel the same way about Jason Worth?
That's different.
Because he basically did the same thing. He up and left just to get the money to sign with Washington.
Now, I believe that the Phillies declined to re-sign him. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't think they wanted to give him the money that he was going to get in the market.
But I believe that the offer they gave him was significantly less than
Maybe.
His market value.
Maybe.
Roland, they were willing to pay Scott Roland to stay.
Right.
He didn't want to be in this market. He didn't want to be in Philadelphia. Now, I don't really have a whole lot of problems with Jason Worth. I think he's been hanging out with Bryce Harper too much in terms of his antics.
They both have beautiful hair, though.
They both have serious anger issues.
I don't care. They have beautiful hair.
Bryce Harper punches at least one person a year.
But Bryce Harper is so fun to watch.
Hey, sure.
Like the energy that he brings is just so fun. And anybody who gets in the face of Jonathan Papelbon is okay in my book.
A, that's fair. B, I just said I don't really watch baseball, so I can't really comment on watching him and his energy.
He's a really fun player to watch. He's just a power guy, and the energy that he brings, he busts his ass every play. He doesn't take a playoff. He's fun to watch.
That's fair.
He's very good for the game of baseball.
Does he deserve to get his number retired?
Not that. I think you're joking.
A little bit.
We're not at that point yet. But he's probably because he's the best national of all time. I mean, they haven't been unless you want to go back to the Expo
days.
Well,
you have to include the Expos because they moved. They didn't close and reopen.
Yeah. You're right.
Right.
But like, other than as Washington Nationals are concerned, he's the best player they've had.
Yeah.
Not excluding the Vladimir Guerreros
since the
Expos.
Nationals days. Let me see. Who else have they had? Huh. People transferred over from the Expos.
I mean, you had Vlad Guerrero, which I don't know if he transferred over, but
I think he might have. He was close.
Yeah.
No, they've had a couple of good players, but he might be the greatest player to wear a Nationals jersey. I think
you might see his number get retired.
That might be fair to say. Yeah.
All right, moving on. We're not a Washington Nationals
podcast.
We're not
at all a Nationals podcast.
I don't know how we got on that.
We're barely a Phillies podcast. We're barely a Phillies podcast.
But it is baseball season, and I am excited.
Yeah, and if we talk about the Phillies for a couple minutes every week, that's fine. But I'm not.
We're going to have to in the summer. I'm going to lose my mind.
Right. But
there's nothing else going on.
I'm not really going to be able to comment too much on the day-to-day operations of the Philadelphia Phillies because I just
don't
care that much.
Got to start watching more baseball.
No. See, the summer.
It's a great sport.
It's a great sport to go. You go hang out with a couple of friends, get 20 people all into Citizens Bank Park, and you're all hanging out and walking around the stadium and, you know, drinking beer responsibly.
Go to more games. I mean, you can get in for 10 bucks.
No kidding.
You know?
Well, I think we talked about this before, but I think that they're going to run into that problem where every fifth game is a sellout.
Because of the Jake Arrieta?
Yeah.
Maybe.
The Jake Arrieta?
Did I say the Jake Arrieta?
Yeah, because of the Jake Arrieta.
I meant the Jake Arrieta signing.
The Jake Arrieta effect?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling one out of every five games is going to be a sellout.
Yeah.
No, and that's what they want. You know, I'm sure that they sold some season tickets on the back of
the Arrieta signing.
And I'm sure having players in the lineup like Rhys Hoskins and Scott Kingery are going to help with sales too.
Well, let's see Scott Kingery take one at bat before we call him a critical piece here.
No, I didn't say he was a critical piece. I said he's going to put people in the seats. What I said.
He hasn't done anything in major leagues.
Not yet. He's having a real impressive spring though.
That's not the same.
No, I get that. But
you're only facing a starter once a game.
I get that.
Let's calm down.
What I said was he's going to help put people in the seats because people are real excited.
I know what you said, but
it seems like you're just picking a fight.
Let's see him walk onto the field before we call him an exciting piece that people want to come see.
Okay.
Is that fair to say?
Sure.
Okay. Moving on. Speaking of arguments that we've had on the show before.
Where are you going with this one?
We're going to the Eagles.
Yep.
Throw me this story. Hit me with this.
So basically how you remember how I said this Michael Bennett signing I didn't like because of his quote unquote off the field issues.
Yeah.
You remember this, right?
I remember this conversation.
And then like 3 days later.
I trashed you because T.O. had off the field issues and, you know,
not as legalities.
Eric Lindros had off the field issues. And, you know, we've talked about this.
Sure, but not law wise.
Okay.
So Michael Bennett, turned himself in today, Monday.
Yep.
To Houston police.
Okay.
He got a felony for basically abusing, or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Like 66-year-old paraplegic woman, along with a couple other people, but that's the felony because I think in the state of Texas, the law is, I think, if it's over somebody 65, I think it becomes a felony, I think is what I read. But, okay. So yeah, he's a dirtball. He's a scumbag. I've said it since the beginning. I didn't want him here. So now we'll just have to sit back and see kind of what happens next in this. Hopefully he gets cut. Hopefully they just,
They're not going to cut him. They just traded him.
Why not?
They're just not going to do it.
Something like this comes out. I mean, go for it. Why not?
Anyway, the story goes, that he was indicted on Friday.
Yeah.
He turned himself in today and was taken into custody.
Mm-hmm.
He's expected to post a $10,000 bond. By the time the show goes live, he probably has. The story goes that he was attempting to get to Martellus Bennett, his brother.
Okay.
After the Patriots won the Super Bowl
year. Yeah.
Apparently, there was a crowd. He pushed her. She sprained her shoulder.
It wasn't just her, too.
He was pushing through the crowd.
Yeah. There's a couple quote-unquote security guard. Now, I'm not going to call them security guards, but they're basically security. It's almost ushers, I guess I could call them.
Right.
That's who this lady was. She's basically an usher.
Right.
And he wasn't allowed on the field. Didn't have any sort of pass or anything.
Right.
You know, just because he's, Michael Bennett doesn't give him the right to start, shoving people.
Yeah, the Houston chief of police had a conference, announcing this whole deal and talking about this. He allegedly told people that he pushed, quote, "You all must know who I am, and I can own this profanity. I'm going down on the field whether you like it or not."
Now, first off, I'm not certain. I don't think he can afford, NRG Stadium? I don't believe he can afford NRG Stadium, which is what he means by I can own this bleep.
I understand.
Now, just because you make a few million dollars a year, NRG Stadium is probably worth, a billion or two?
Okay, sure.
I'm just saying, I don't think he can own it. Get your facts straight, Michael Bennett.
Sure.
I almost cursed. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
We do attempt to keep the show PG.
I'm sorry. Well, Michael Bennett's an idiot. I don't want him here. I didn't want him here from the start. And now it's just my thoughts are just getting proven correct.
Well, listen, I'm not going to sit here and defend the actions because it was
deplorable.
He was excited that his brother won the Super Bowl. He was pushed into the crowd to attempt to get to his brother. Now, I'm not saying that what he did was right. I'm not saying that his attitude about the situation was right, because I don't think that. At the same time, I doubt that he pushed this woman or this person. I don't know if their gender has been discussed.
It's a woman. Yeah.
I doubt that he pushed this woman with intent to injure her. I doubt that there was...
Probably not.
I doubt that there was malice in it. I'm sure that he was excited. Maybe he had a couple beers during the game, was a little inebriated, lost control. He is a professional athlete. Maybe he pushed her harder than he meant to. Now, again, none of that excuses it. None of that excuses it.
Yeah.
And if the law says that he's going to face some time, then he faces some time. I doubt that he's going to. It's up to 10 years in prison.
Okay.
I doubt there's going to be anywhere near that much, if any at all. 10 hours of community service. But at the same time, that happened before he was a Philadelphia Eagle.
No, I get that. And
let me finish.
Okay.
Real quick. It happened before he was a Philadelphia Eagle. I'm sure that the Eagles were aware that this was going
to
happen.
They had to have been.
They had to have been. You don't make this trade unless you know for certain, especially because he's had a couple of little nicks in the past. You know you have to do the full background check before we get there. And so they knew this was going to happen. I'm not, again, not excusing the actions. At the same time, if he pays society's price, I'm good.
I would agree with you if it was an isolated incident. Incident.
Sure.
But the fact that he's had some, like you said, some things in the past, some red flags, the whole cop situation, and I believe it was Vegas,
right,
just flat out lying. You know, the protest stuff alongside with that, but I'm not getting into that.
We're not getting into the protest stuff.
No, but I'm just trying to make my argument.
That's not a legal issue.
No, I know, okay, but I'm just saying there are red flags.
First of all, that's on the field. Second of all,
it's not on the field.
Sure it is. Second of all, it's not a legal issue. You wanted to bring up legal issues. We'll talk about legal issues. That's fine. That's not one of them. We're not going to talk about it.
Okay.
We're going to keep politics out of this show, Mike.
I wasn't talking politics.
Yes, you were.
No, I wasn't.
Sure you were.
I was trying to make my argument.
That's not a good way to do it. Try again.
No. But yeah, like I said, I didn't want him on the team when they traded for him.
Right.
Because of those issues, and this has kind of proven my
and that's fair
thing to be true.
But at the same time, he's here. So unless it's a big enough deal that you're going to stop watching the team.
Oh, I'm not. Obviously.
Then it's not that big a deal. How did you react when they got Mike Vick? Who was fresh out of prison.
No, I know.
Serving actual real time.
I know. And he seemed, it seemed genuine when he came out and legitimately apologized.
Okay.
And he also, he did his time.
Yep.
You know, he did his time.
He paid society's price.
Yeah, sure.
So if Bennett does his community service or whatever is imposed upon him by the city of Houston,
Mike Vick also only had that one scenario. You know, Bennett has,
I would argue that that's worse than a small-time track record. Running a major dogfighting ring is a bigger deal than
a couple of
fairly minor incidents.
Right, but he you know, paid the price, and he did time, and he was still a dominant player. You know, they gave him the one-year deal, and then after that, he was great, and then they gave him the $100 million contract or whatever it was.
Yeah, and I can understand you not liking the trade when it happened. That's fair. That's a valid concern. But at the same time, if he does what's expected of him and he comes and plays good football for the Philadelphia Eagles, you got to be able to put it behind you.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. I agree with that.
All right. I think we've discussed that one ad nauseum. we're going to flip over to talk some Flyers here in the second half of the show. But before we do that, we're going to give you guys 7 or 6 seconds where we talk about the Philadelphia 76ers in 7 or 6 seconds. Go ahead, Mike.
The Sixers have clinched a playoff spot, and Markelle Fultz finally returned to action Monday night against the Nuggets.
Okay, moving on. So the Flyers.
Yeah.
Flyers played a couple games this week.
Yes, they did.
Absolutely enormous games like we talked about on last week's show.
Yep.
And they continue to have a couple more insanely huge games this upcoming week with seven games to go in the regular season.
Every game is humongous at this point.
Now, Flyers have gotten points in their last 5.
Yeah.
They're 3-0-2 in their last 5. So it seems like this is a team that's warming up. Now, I'm just talking about results-wise.
Result-wise, yes, because majority of that time have been ugly.
Right. Yes, I understand. But at this time of the season, It's honestly hard to be super picky when you're getting points.
Yeah,
right.
I hear you, but I mean,
an ugly 2 points still reads as 2 points.
I get that, but you go back to Tuesday when you know you play a team on the 10-game losing streak.
Yep.
And you know, to the Red Wings, and you lose, you play awful.
Yeah, but if you told me, Mike's talking about the game on Tuesday, March 20th, where they played the Detroit Red Wings. If you told me after the second period that they were getting a point out of that game, I would have laughed in your face.
You can't be in that situation to the Detroit Red Wings in the middle of a playoff
race. You're down 4-1 after the second period.
3-1 after the first. Or after the second.
Was it 3-1? I'm sorry. And you come back and get a point out of that game. And they did not look good for the first 40 minutes.
No, which is my concern.
I understand. But I'm trying to look at this a little more positively. They played a really good 20 minutes of hockey at the end there.
But you shouldn't be chasing a team like the Red Wings. And they scratched out a point.
I understand. Listen, I'm not talking about the first 40. The first 40 were terrible. Right?
And when it gets to playoff time, you're going to need to play 60 minutes.
They included Peter Mrazek getting pulled early in that game. The first 40 were terrible. But you grit it up at the end of the second period. You played really, really, really good hockey coming out of the tunnel in the third. That period is the kind of period you can build on moving into the playoffs. Forget the first 40 ever happened. Take that last 20. Build on that.
Okay.
Right?
And technically, yes, they got a win in their next game.
Yep.
You know?
New York Rangers, yeah.
Yeah, but...
On Thursday, March 22nd.
But to the lowly New York Rangers, they looked dreadful. They got dominated.
Yep.
All game. It was not a pretty game.
Yep.
I mean, you got two games, basically back-to-back. Well, two back-to-back games, not in days, obviously, but you know what I'm saying. To the Red Wings and the Rangers, and you play 20 minutes?
Who are both significantly out of playoff contention.
Yeah.
And they played a combined total of about 35 minutes in both of those games. I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, it almost doesn't matter what they do to get there. At this point, this team is not cruising into the playoffs as a dominant force. This team isn't the Tampa Bay Lightning. This team isn't even the Vegas Golden Knights. This team is clawing and fighting for points to get into the playoffs.
This Flyers team...
It almost doesn't matter how they get these points. At this point, they're just trying to make it. They're playing playoff games every night, comeback performances, games, you know, periods like that third period in Detroit, or, you know, the last-minute scramble comeback Sunday in Pittsburgh, which we're going to get to. Those are the kind of periods that get you into the playoffs. And I'm not saying it's pretty, and I'm not saying it's great, and I'm not saying I love it. But this team is scratching and clawing and fighting for every point they can down the stretch of this regular season to get into the playoffs. And if they get there, anything can happen. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs.
This team hasn't shown me anything. Zero.
Okay.
That they're going to make any sort of run, that they're going to win a first-round matchup.
I don't disagree with you.
Right now, I would pick them to lose, probably against anybody. Like, I think their better matchup is against the Washington Capitals.
Okay.
But I'm just going between the Capitals and the Penguins, because they're probably the only two teams that are...
You could end up with Columbus if Pittsburgh stumbles a little bit.
You could.
It's all very tight.
But I think I'd rather Washington. But I don't see them beating any team in the first round. I just don't.
I don't even necessarily disagree with you. But I'm looking at this a little bit longer term. Yes, I would like this team to win this year. Yes, I would like to see them make a run. And I would like to see them, you know, follow the Eagles and have a parade. At the same time, this is a young team. And getting into the playoffs and getting even one round of playoff experience is absolutely enormous for this team moving forward.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can't argue.
Would I love for them to, you know, sweep the two-time defending champion Penguins in the first round? Yes, of course I would. I'm a fan. I want Claude Giroux to knock Sidney Crosby out again like he did in 2012, walk down the ice and score a goal.
Yep.
Do I think that's going to happen? Not really. Do I think they're going to win the series? Depending on the matchup, listen, I'm going to give you my homer pick. You know, two weeks from now, the season will be over. We'll have the first round matchup, and that's going to be our first round preview show. And I'm going to tell you that the Flyers are winning.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that I honestly, in my heart of hearts, think they're going to win. Spoiler alert, I'm going to tell you the Flyers in six.
Because you're an idiot. Sure. No, I'm just looking at every team in the Eastern Conference, and I'm literally, I don't see one. I mean, you got Tampa, Boston, Toronto. I don't think they're beating any of those teams in a seven-game series.
It depends on what Flyers team shows up in that series.
No, they're not winning in seven.
If the Flyers team who went 0-5-5 in November shows up, they could play against, you know, the Ottawa Senators and lose that series in five games. But if the team that's gritty and shows up and pushes and doesn't take a shift off shows up, I think they can play with any team in the league. I don't think they have the skill of half of those teams, but I think this locker room comes together in a really exciting way. And I think that this unit can play with any unit in the league.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't pick them to win against anybody.
That's fair, but they're not going down without a fight. They're not going down in less.
I hope you're right.
They're not going down in less than six games. I'll call that right now. I don't think they lose in five to any team in the league except maybe Tampa. And if we end up matched up against Tampa,
they could.
You might as well just count us out.
They could.
I understand.
Because Florida listen, is on a hunt.
Listen, I know.
Florida's playing out of their minds. They're 4 minutes away from another win tonight, Monday night, to the Islanders. 3-0.
I understand.
With four
that.
Minutes left.
But at the same time, the Flyers are also tied with Columbus for the third division spot.
I understand that.
And you're 3 points behind Pittsburgh, and then you're 6 points behind Washington, which is, you know, a little far, but not completely out of reach.
That's assuming they show up in these next few games.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is if the team that's won, you know, three out of their last five has points in their last five, you know, had a stretch of 10 out of 11 wins, you know, a month ago. If that team shows up, the team that won 11 out of 12 or 10 out of 11 or whatever it was and had points in all of them, if that team shows up, they can stretch Tampa to six games. They can stretch Pittsburgh to seven games. They can stretch Washington to six games. Even Boston you can take to six games. This team isn't going to go down without a fight. I'm not saying they're going to win, but this team is going to play together. They're going to fight together. They're going to build some critical locker room chemistry for a locker room that has 12 guys under the age of 25.
You should quit this whole podcasting thing and become like a motivational speaker.
Listen, tell the Flyers to call me.
I want
to
jump through a wall right now.
All right. At NHL Flyers. Just tweet at me. Tweet at me. I'll come pump the boys up.
Yeah, there you go.
But do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I get what you're saying.
And I honestly believe that. I'm not just spouting just because I'm a fan. No, I really think that
in
this
a series
shows up.
Yeah, and you're going to have guys like the Giroux, like the Simmons, you know, like the Voracheks. They're going to have to show up. They're going to have to show up with energy. They're going to basically have to carry the team.
Yep.
You know, so it's long because we really haven't seen, you know, the Simmons of old, especially lately.
We've talked a lot about Wayne Simmons and the down year he's had this year. It's been really, really, really disappointing.
Yeah.
Now, thankfully, they're not paying him too much. You know, we've talked about that contract. He's still playing to the level of his contract. But I honestly think that I want Pittsburgh in the first round. Because even if you go down, you're going down to the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion in the biggest rivalry in the Metropolitan Division. I'm not going to say in hockey because then all the Boston-Montreal fans will get upset.
It's not even Boston-Montreal. It's more Boston-Toronto nowadays, isn't it?
No, it's Boston-Montreal.
It's Boston-Toronto.
All right.
Well, especially with that collapse a few years ago that, who was it, Boston had? I forget who it was, but
that was against us.
I'm saying Boston and Toronto.
Later, wasn't there?
Yeah, Boston was up by like two goals with like 2 minutes left, or maybe the other way around. But somebody blew a lead late by two goals.
All right, moving on. I'm talking Flyers Penguins.
Speaking of Flyers Penguins, what did you think about that game on Sunday?
Before we go into that game, let me finish my thought.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I want Flyers Penguins in the first round, and I want that because it's the best rivalry in the Metro, and Claude, Simmons, Voracek, and Couturier all, and I think Matt Reed was on that team too, all had their baptism by fire in the rivalry during the 2012 playoffs, right? That was the year that, you know, Crosby came out with the, I don't like him. I don't like any guy on their team.
I just don't like him.
Right. He knocked Voracek's glove away.
Hey, guess what? We don't like you either.
Right. But I'm saying, like, the older guys had their baptism by fire with the rivalry. It's time for the young boys. It's time for Konechny and Patrick and Provorov and Ghost to see what the Flyers-Penguins rivalry really is. Because it's been pretty tame over the last couple years. There's a little bit of feistiness. There's a little bit of sticks high after whistles and, you know, crowds around the goalie. We haven't seen Peter Laviolette trying to break down the barricade to get to the Penguins bench.
Right.
Right. We haven't seen the Flyers Penguins rivalry. And that's the kind of thing that only comes up in the playoffs.
And, and you're also not going to get that type of coach experience again, because our coach is as bland as, you know, he's milk toast essentially. But
you play the Pittsburgh Penguins, Flyers in six.
Okay.
You heard it here.
Yep.
Listen,
I've literally nothing to say.
it's not very good for the show, Mike.
No. We're just going to sit here in silence.
Instead of you.
Stop. Silence.
It's just going to be.
Silence.
You're listening. You're listening to the first episode of I Would Think, the show where Kyle Collington talks about sports all by himself and Mike sits here.
Yep. I just don't. I haven't seen anything to make me believe that this team can beat the Penguins in a 7-game series. I just haven't seen it.
You know what the key to that is?
What's that?
Travis Konecny.
Speaking of Travis Konecny.
Speaking of Travis Konecny. That's a nice little
Speaking of Travis Konecny and your boy Dave Hextall.
Yep.
Now, in the game on Thursday against the Rangers.
Yep.
Your boy Konecny scores 2 goals.
Yep. He played a really strong first two periods.
Played a really strong first 2 periods. And for whatever reason.
And also, at that point, the Flyers were up 4-2, I think. 3-2.
Okay.
Flyers were up 3-2 after the second.
For whatever reason, your boy Dave Hextall there sits Travis Konecny in the third period when they were up 4-2 for whatever reason why to play. I mean, who does he want to give the ice time to? Valtteri Filppula? Yuri Laterra?
Matt Reed took the spot.
Okay, it doesn't make sense.
Matt Reed took the spot, and then Jake Voracek got the double shift.
Why? What did he see from Travis Konecny?
A lack of defensive responsibility.
You're up in a 4-2 game, okay?
In a game you desperately need to win.
Yeah.
In a game you desperately need to win. Now, I don't love the sit back and hope nothing goes wrong mentality.
No, that's the mentality that your boy Dave Hextall has.
But Matt Reed plays good fundamental defensive hockey.
Matt Reed's been up here for like a week and a half.
Okay, and he's been in the league for 7 or 8 years.
So you're telling me, Matt, you'd rather have Matt Reed in the lineup over Travis Konecny?
No.
Is that what you're telling me?
On a day-to-day basis? No. In one period where you need strong defensive play, in a game where Travis Konecny has committed some offensive blunders, or defensive blunders rather, has committed some poor turnovers that left chances on the Rangers, yes, I want Matt Reed in that lineup.
You're dumb.
That's a good talk, Mike. Now, listen, I don't love it.
He's one of your best players.
Yeah, but he's not one of your best defensive forwards.
I don't care. He's not on this team to play defense. He's just not.
In a one-goal game, and you know, Oscar Lindblom scored his second on an absolute beauty 8 seconds into the third period.
Yep, that he did.
So they played most of the third period up 4-2.
I love Oscar Lindblom.
Up 4-2.
Yeah.
I'm okay with putting Travis on the bench to shore up yourself a little defensively.
Maybe.
It worked?
I mean,
who won
barely.
That game? Who won that game?
They looked
who
awful.
Won that game? Who
they
won
got
that
the
game?
2 points. I get that, but they
who
looked
got the
awful.
W?
The Philadelphia Flyers got
oh,
the
okay.
W.
Okay. Yep. So, listen, I'm not saying it's perfect, but it worked. It's not perfect. It's not flawless. I don't want to say it every night, but it worked. Also, let's talk real quick about Dave Hextall's willingness to pull his goalie.
Yeah.
That's happened a couple times.
Yeah.
Really, since the Mrazek trade, Dave Hextall has been very quick to yank Lyon for Mrazek or vice versa.
Yeah, well, I think it's fair to say that goaltending is probably right now the weakest part of this team.
I agree. And I
think neither of them have looked good.
I think it gets... Well, Lyon's looked pretty good. For what you expected out of him, he's not Carey Price, but for what you expected out of him, he's played above that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He's made some stellar saves. He's generally in pretty good position. I mean,
he looked awful in the Pittsburgh game.
And that's why he got pulled.
Yep.
But
And then, who was it? Mrazek that got pulled. Did Mrazek get pulled against the... No, he got pulled against the...
The Red Wings.
The Red Wings, and then Lyon started the Rangers
the
game.
Next two. Yeah, he also started the Pittsburgh game.
Right. But the goaltending has not been good.
But it
just hasn't.
It's not often you see a goaltender get yanked in a one-goal game early in the second period or whenever that goal was.
Yeah, the effects all helped ruin my fantasy hockey season, but we'll move
poor
on.
Baby. Just a little bit of background for you guys. Mike got comebacked on Sunday evening.
I'm not talking about this. Let's move on.
And he lost.
No, let's move on.
He lost the cup. He's a little salty about it, in case you couldn't
tell. Let's move on.
Let's move on to what?
Speaking of goaltendings, or goaltenders, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
There's a report that Neuwirth could start Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay. And Lyon goes down, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You would think?
You would think. The Philly Sports Podcast.
The Philly Sports Podcast. No,
but yeah, he can start in Dallas or Colorado. They're you know, thinking about starting on one of those games. So
I think it's definitely time. I think Mrazek's kind of proven that he's not the guy, and I don't see this team signing him after the season, especially not because it costs you a third round pick.
I agree with you. When I first made the trade, and then even the first game or two, he actually looked decent. He actually looked really good.
Stellar in three out of his first four games.
Yeah.
And he's really, and, really,
and at that
really
time, I would have at the time I would have said that yeah, they're signing him.
I agree. But I laid out my whole goaltending future a couple weeks ago on the show. You know, year by year over the next couple years, and the way he's played recently, and the attitude he showed in Detroit when he got pulled. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I saw it.
He threw a hissy fit on his way out.
Yeah, but that's kind of the knock that he got when he was in Detroit. They said he was a head case, but all goalies are head cases.
It takes a special kind of person to decide to sign up to get hit by pucks at 100 miles an hour.
Right.
But no, he showed some pretty poor attitude in that game against Detroit.
Yep.
I don't see this team re-signing him. I don't want them to.
I don't know. I'd be fine if they re-signed him.
Not at the cost of a third-round pick.
What if they traded Neuwirth for, say, a third-round pick? I don't know if you can get a third-round pick, but if you can get a third-round pick and you basically just swap out Mrazek for Neuwirth, how do you feel about that?
I like that a little more because even if Mrazek... Like, Mrazek is the same streaky goaltender as Neuwirth, but without the injury history.
Right.
So it's a strict upgrade.
All right. Now, what if you could only get a fourth or a fifth? Would you still be fine with that?
See, it depends on exactly what the deal is. And it also depends on what Mrazek would want in a re-sign. You know, he's not, you know, again, we've talked about this. Everybody knows he's not your goalie of the future.
No.
Right? Like, he's just not.
He's not going to command much money on the market. He's just not.
You don't know, though. There are some teams that are desperate for a goalie. And I think if the Flyers work with him in the offseason and they think that he's got the potential to be a starting goaltender, because I think he came in here and has fallen off the cliff very quickly.
Yeah.
If he works with them and they think that he's the guy, at least until Carter Hart gets here, I still don't hate the idea of trading Brian Elliott. Because I think you can get a third round pick or better for Brian Elliott.
Maybe, yeah.
You might be able to get, you know, Elliott and a third for a first. Something like that. You know, I don't think that's unreasonable. You know, a late first. Or Elliott for a second, or, you know, something in that range. And if that's the case, then I think re-signing Mrazek makes a lot of sense. If you think he can hold down the fort for 2 years in a platoon role with Michael Neuwirth until Carter Hart gets here. And I also think that the fact that Alex Lyon has played fairly well gives you some wiggle room. Because
yeah.
Lyon can come up as needed to stopgap.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? And then there's, you know, the comeback trail of Anthony Stolarz.
Yeah, who knows kind of what his progression is going to look like.
I believe he's back up in Lehigh Valley.
Yeah, I think he is. I don't know if he started yet there. But speaking of Lehigh Valley, they did clinch a playoff berth.
They did clinch a playoff berth. And, you know, they haven't figured out seeding, and the rest of the AHL hasn't really worked out, you know, seeding and stuff, so they don't know who they're playing.
I don't even know how seeding works down there.
We figured we talk about the Flyers farm team enough that we might as well throw them a shout when they clinch a playoff berth. Congratulations.
Yeah.
So see, the future is coming.
Yeah. No, my greatest time was you know, at a Phantoms game.
Phantoms games were great back in the Spectrum.
'05. It was the year of the lockout. when you basically had all the NHL players that were eligible for the AHL. Was eligible. Yeah. You know, and they went to the Calder Cup and swept Chicago. I was at the clinching game.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a fun time. I think they had Patrick Sharp on that team. Like the team was stacked.
Wait, which team had Patrick Sharp?
The Flyers the Phantoms.
Because he's been in both organizations.
True. No, that was before they let him go to Chicago.
Right.
But yeah, it was fun.
But yeah, we'll keep you guys updated on the Phantoms playoff run as they attempt to capture another Calder Cup.
Yeah. But,
all right. Is there anything else you wanted to get to this week before we wrap up?
Just
here?
A little shout out. You all do right. have a basketball game coming up, you know, between Nova and,
oh, right.
Nova's and
in the
Kansas.
Final Four, huh?
Yeah. Final Four.
Nova's in the Final Four. And if Nova doesn't win, my bracket is absolutely trash.
If Kansas wins, my bracket is good because I actually pick Kansas.
Yeah, my bracket's already trash. I had Loyola in the Elite Eight.
Well, let's be honest. Everybody's bracket was trash.
Virginia, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we don't talk much college basketball, and I don't even really watch a ton of college basketball. I did fill out a bracket. Loyola Chicago was my Cinderella pick, but I had them losing in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, it's just far. Nobody expected them to
get
that far.
Exactly.
You know?
I got a whole bunch of bonus points for that, but I didn't have him in the Final Four.
No, nobody did.
No. So what's the Final Four? It's Kansas and Nova.
Kansas, and Nova.
Loyola and Duke? Or No.
Loyola and Michigan.
Loyola and Michigan.
Because Kansas beat Duke.
Right, thank God.
Because Duke's a bunch of douches.
Oh, wait. I did have Duke. Yeah, my bracket's trash.
Yeah,
never mind.
Duke sucks.
Sure. Whatever.
I just have a strong hatred towards Duke.
I mean... Sure.
And Grayson Allen, just a scumbag.
Whatever you say.
It's a white dude from Duke named Grayson. He's just
doomed off,
from the start.
Off the field doesn't matter, right, Mike?
He kicked people in the genitalia on the court. So, I mean, that's on the court stuff.
Sure.
He's just a white dude from Duke that is named Grayson. He was doomed from the start.
Sure.
If
any of you guys are Duke fans, the opinions expressed by Mike Gilletto do not reflect the official views of You Would Think.
Sure it does.
No,
Duke
doesn't.
Sucks.
No. You can tweet @Mike_Gilletto
yep.
on Twitter. Send that hate.
At me.
Yep. So anyway, you can follow the Twitter on Twitter.
Or
you can follow the
Twitter.
You can follow the show on Twitter. Wow. I'm tired. You can follow the show on Twitter @YWTPodcast. You can follow me @KCullington and Mike @Mike_Gilletto. You can find the show on Facebook, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, and Last Word on sports.com. Our logo was created for us by Benny the Jet 55. That's the Ben we mentioned earlier in the
show.
We're hoping to... yeah, he hasn't heard that 1,000 times. We're hoping to get him on the show in a little while. We got that other special guest coming up for you in a couple weeks as we get a little closer to the NFL draft. And we might have a special guest as early as next week.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to be able to make the logistics work, but we do have a special guest lined up next week.
I'm hoping. It's going to be fun.
Me too. Fingers crossed. Yeah. We'll try to make the scheduling work. And that'll be it for that. You guys can catch us next week. Have a good week.